The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
Good evening to you from Nashville, Tennessee on a beautiful night here in the Music City. Joe Fisher, great to have you with us for the Commodore Hour in these strange times that we live in right now. Strange because we did not have a Vanderbilt football game this past Saturday because of the postponement due to the COVID situation. We don't have a football game this weekend either because of the scheduled bye week. So we're still almost 2 weeks away from Commodore football taking the field again. That will be against Ole Miss on Halloween. But we will talk with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason coming up after the break. He'll catch us up on what practice has been like in this past week dealing with the COVID situation that they've been dealing with and other topics that we will touch on with him. And then at the bottom of the hour, looking forward to a conversation with Commodore Director of Athletics Candace Story Lee, who is going to join us to catch us up on all the events that she has been involved in during this rather interesting time, not only for just Vanderbilt, but for everyone dealing with all the changes and all the adjustments that you have to make. So we will certainly get to all that. Vanderbilt football this year brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion, $5.5 billion, don't cut them short, to support education programs in Tennessee. We'll take a break, come back with Coach Mason. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. Glad to be joined, as always, by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. And, Derek, first, how did you spend this past Saturday with no game to play?
We definitely weren't playing a game, but we had a chance to get on the grass and have somewhat of a mock and competitive scrimmage, which was fun. We got into some situations. We're able to work on some special teams, some situational football, pass under pressure, third down situations, and really finish with a 2 minute drill. So I thought our guys, had great energy. I thought the practice, was spirited. I mean, we still don't have all our guys back, but I tell you what, we've been able to do. We've been able to get great fundamental work on situational football and sort of move the needle forward. And that's a good thing as we get a chance to head into this bye week and get ready to, get back to the fundamentals of football.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, Derek, and you've talked about it a little bit before about the numbers being down, that you don't have the guys available. At one point, I think you said the phrase you used was it was kind of a shell of the team in that regard for practice. How far down were the numbers, really? How limited have you been or have you had to be because of all those number limits?
Yeah, we've been able to have, functional depth for, two deep. And that part's been good. But in terms of overall numbers, we weren't close to where we needed to be in order to get game-like work, because if we would have had those numbers, we would have been playing the game. So, again, most of our guys, started to come back. They'll still be coming back, this week. I think we start to get to the numbers that really start to make sense for us around Wednesday and or Wednesday through Friday. And that'll be, exactly what we need, to make the push forward. It's got to be about this team getting its horses back, us being able to look at, where we want to go as we look to take on Ole Miss on October 31st. And we've done a good job of being able to scout who they are, but I think the biggest thing is just getting, all our guys back in the building so we can, start to make this march with fully understanding on both sides of the ball who we have available to us and really cementing exactly who we are.
Derek, what's the energy like? What's the emotional level like? I mean, these guys are going through stuff they've never been through before. We all are, obviously. And you're missing guys at practice or your teammates, and probably having to ask guys to step in and maybe do some things they don't normally do to try to fill in. What's the mindset? What's the emotional level of the team right now, do you think?
The emotional level is good. I think these guys, do they miss having their teammates out there? Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's been more about this was something that was expected. They didn't know when it would happen, but I went into the season talking about, you know, starters and waiting. And it's actually come true. You know, guys have had to, you know, step into some roles and step up and, you know, push themselves a little harder. And, you know, instead of being on no special teams, now, you know, you're a three-phase special teams player in a matter of, you know, 14 days or 2 weeks. You know, this was never about, you know, understanding exactly, you know, everything that was going to be involved. It was about being flexible and understanding that you were going to be called upon at some point in time. And I think that's really what these guys are experiencing. So I think that's why the practices, even though the numbers have been down, the practices have been spirited because guys have gotten, you know, opportunity. And, you know, when you get opportunity, you get a chance to, you know, see where you're at. You get a chance to measure, you know, what you know. And everybody else gets a chance to see how competitive you are. And that's what's really been on display.
Take us back a few days, Derek, if you would, because – And I, you know, being around the McGugan and, you know, being able to go to practice and going through a lot of the protocols that you go through on a regular basis, when you have the testing, when you have positive tests, and that comes up, and now you're dealing with the contact tracing and all of that goes on, does it make you reevaluate the process you already have in place? I'm sure you think you've jumped through every hoop you possibly can, and maybe you have, but does it kind of make you sit and think, okay, did we miss something that could have maybe prevented this?
Joe, you bring up a great point. For this, there is no script, and I think the best thing that you can do is evaluate, you know, where you're at. We try to do it week to week. And almost day to day. And what you're really having to do is evaluate from test to test. Obviously, we get tested on a Sunday, a Tuesday, and a Thursday. And you're realizing that you can set a week, but your week can change based on one test. Your day can change based on one test. Who you have available to you can change exactly how your operation works. And so, like for us, we've been through this evaluation sort of set of circumstances, you know, too many times to count. And I think, you know, like for us, what you always come back to is, you know, man, are you doing your best to mitigate the risk? And as long as you're doing that, because it still comes back to the safety and welfare of the student athlete, we feel like we're doing that. And if you talk to our student athletes, they'll say the same. They'll echo the same. You know, it's unfortunate, but you know, we don't have a cure right now. We're working, you know, in the midst of a pandemic, and young people are doing a really good job of you know, the social distancing and understanding all the protocols in place. But there's still no guarantee. And so, you know, we're trying to make sure that they do know so that we can be proactive in the process. But in this, it's just staying flexible and understanding that you don't control everything. So what you can do is control the controllables, what's available to you that you can make better today, and that's what we're doing.
Commodore head football coach Derek Mason with us, and I don't think any of us really understand the lengths that you have gone to as a program, as a university, to try to do the best you can to protect everybody. For example, and I think I'm right on this, Coach, you have staff meetings with your staff practically every day, maybe more than one a day. They are not in person, are they?
They're not. And again, Joe, you got access to more than most in terms of being able to see, you know, us in our facility. And, you know, it's been hard-pressed to find a meeting that's not on Zoom. You know, like right now, we're working really hard because I think a lot of football information can sometimes get lost in Zoom meetings because Zoom has become so so regular, you know, like to our students, that I think being on Zoom, as most people who've been on Zoom know, or who have to work on Zoom know, it's long. It's hard to focus. And so we've had to have most of our meetings on Zoom, whether it's our staff and or players. And I think what we've tried to become more familiar with is just making sure, man, that our guys are taking in the information in 20 to 25 minute increments. So that, you know, man, there's a bathroom break built in there. There's a an opportunity, like to grab a snack, because I think what you're trying to do is keep them focused, for as long as you can. But the information overload, because they're on Zoom academically all the time, is something that we have to be aware of. And so just those changes and how we've had to adapt to, our practice schedule being adjusted, how you get people into the building. Everything, requires some adjustments. And so the flexibility piece, for me and the staff has been, on at an all-time high, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
No, it doesn't seem like it is, Coach, unfortunately. I think we're with this for a while. But and one other aspect of this I want to get to before we take a break right here. One of the things, or one of a myriad of things that you and Jason Grooms and all have done with the program is, I don't want to say segmenting the population, but guys spend the majority of their time with the same group of guys. When you eat together, when you travel in the same group together. When you are in the hotel, it's going to be the same people staying together. So is it fair to say that when you have, and now the reason for that was to try to keep something from spreading through an entire team. And obviously I think we all understand that, but the other side of that is if you do have someone that tests positive, it could have a serious impact primarily on one position group, couldn't it?
Correct. So we've had to adjust the population. Generally, offensive linemen are used to being around offensive linemen, position groups, really what position groups, but it's been more about, how can we keep, mixed groups of players, together, whether they're in their lifting groups or whether we're talking about how we room, on the road, and who's been exposed, okay, and how does that change, what our rooming, list look like, and how can we, look to make sure that we can keep the same population around each other as much as we can, but also try to minimize the risk of who gets exposed. And that's been, it takes a lot of gymnastics between Tom Bosing, our head athletic trainer, Dr. Fitch, Dr. Candace Lee, Jason Grooms, and myself. We're constantly, looking at, where are our numbers? Okay, I mean, who's been exposed? What are we doing with rooming lists? How do we travel? Our athletic department has done a terrific job of resourcing us to make sure that we have equipment, in rooms, cleaning machines, stenosis machines in rooms that actually do a good job of cleaning the air. As our building has been refitted or retrofitted for our AC units so that we can have, better, air filtration and clean air going through that building. So I think we try to do everything that we can to make sure, from the rooming list to, how our building's set up to how we meet, of minimizing the risk and maximizing the opportunity for guys to still have an opportunity to walk into the building, feel comfortable, feel safe, and still practice and play football.
Yeah, it's been quite an undertaking. It's been amazing to watch all the process that you are all going through to try to keep everybody as safe as you possibly can. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a few more minutes with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason coming up on the Commodore Hour. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour. We're here every Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game, talking Vanderbilt Athletics. I'm Joe Fisher. Great to have you with us. And, of course, this season, Gupton Jeep, your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters, has been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. They will bring you our Keys to the Game feature before each Commodore football game. Our next one comes up on Halloween as the Commodores will take on Ole Miss. We are joined by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. I'm going to throw one at you here that's an on-the-field question, which I'm sure you're probably ready for, instead of all this other stuff. I had a guy, Patrick, sent me one on Twitter, and he said, could I ask Coach Mason if they have planned, quote, free plays for when the other team jumps offside? That's one of the things we've noticed, Coach. There have been several instances where anytime there's been a jump offsides, you know, Ken Seals has gone for the home run ball just all automatically.
Yeah, that's part of what they practice. We're always going to, you know, have an opportunity to take a shot downfield on those plays. I mean, that started last spring in our first couple of practices, and something that really they've worked hard to, you know, repeat as we've gotten into, you know, in the season. And I think now he's got a full cadence of plays, man, that they run. I think they go through a segment of a sequence of about, you know, 1 to 2 plays that they can run, options outside, options inside. So that it's great to have, but for us, I think all together, you know, man, right now we want to see the ball go down the field. We think it can. I'm excited to see, you know, what this thing is going to look like as we've had a chance to really look at ourselves and solidify, you know, exactly, you know, where we need to go moving forward. But yes, to answer the question, we do have the opportunity to go down the field.
One of the topics that you addressed last week, we talked about, was the team has not handled adversity the way you would like. And you used the term, right. You used the term, the snowball effect, where, you know, something goes wrong and then instead of stepping up and stopping it, then something else goes wrong and it kind of starts to snowball downhill. How do you address that and how do you change that?
Well, that's something that you earn. One thing about, you know, games being played, I mean, it's hard to you know, give confidence, you know, like the players, unless you earn it. You know, in this, especially in the conference that we play in, a coach can make it all right Monday through Friday, but you can't make it all right on Saturday. And so, like, with that, you want to make sure that you walk the fine line between, you know, encouragement, but also making guys, you know, earn the right, you know, like, to feel good about, you know, how they play, what they do, how they communicate, and really what it looks like. And with that, you know, we're all in this thing together. This thing is not about just individuals, man. It's about, you know, everybody holding each other accountable. I can go back to Missouri and I can talk about, you know, energy a year ago. And that game was about attitude affecting outcome and energy that was created, you know, amongst that group. And I think I've seen, you know, bits and pieces of it, but football is a 60-minute game. And when you start to talk about, you know, how games, you know, are won, you got to play through the bad, okay, to get to the good. You got to be able to find yourself sometimes battling back. And watching the Titans game yesterday, I mean the Titans battled back. that game was a close ball game, and they could have folded, but they didn't. You know, what they did was, man, they continued to fight. They had to play, you know, four quarters of some change to get the win, but that's generally, you know, how it's earned. It's earned through going through some adversity, you know, figuring out, you know, how to compete and keep yourself, you know, in the game, and then finding a way to make the play when the play is needed. And that's what we have to do right now.
Going through the what you're going through now, the way you're practicing the levels, the numbers, all those kind of things, what's the hardest thing for a player or a team to stay sharp at during this time? Is there an area that it's almost impossible not to see some slippage in?
You know, not right now, like for this group. I think there's enough, you know, to look at, whether it be the tape and missed opportunities, to ask yourself, okay, where do we need to go? Okay, man, and what do we need to do to be better? And so, I mean, if we sit and waste this time, now granted, some guys don't even have the opportunity right now to get back at it. But, you know, almost every player to a man has said, you know, what we need is the group understanding or the team understanding that there are no days off now. Okay, we're going to hit a 7 or 8 week stretch of football where, you know, I mean, you don't get days off. You got to put good work on top of good work. And this thing's got to be about us willing ourselves to you know, make fourth quarter opportunities and chances to win. Right now, this group's still learning how to win, but they've got the pieces. This group's got the right chemistry. The biggest thing that we got to do is put the work with the chemistry and make sure that we put the pieces, you know, in the right places in order for it all to come together.
It's interesting you mention that because, Coach, usually when you're in an open week, on open weekend, there would usually be a couple of days off built in, you know, like toward the end of the week, you know, whether it could be a Friday and a Saturday or whatever, just a couple of days off. Are there going to be days off this week?
No days off. I mean, they actually, even though this is a bye week, you know, for us, what we looked at was knowing that, you know, our guys were going to be coming back a little later. I mean, towards the middle and late in the week, we figured that we would take our scheduled flexibility time on the front end and not the back end. So our guys were off on a Monday, and Monday's generally our off day anyway. But we're right back at it, and we're gonna have an opportunity to get in our normal a day off on a Monday. But everything leading forward is definitely about no days off. These guys understand, even when they're not in the building, they got to take care of their body. Their body's their job, and you know, right now, you know, with a chance to get caught up on schoolwork and get, you know, in that pocket as we get ready to hit this stretch of ball games, you know, everything they do matters. They know it. We understand it. So now what we got to do is be accountable to it.
You know, and finally, this just crossed my mind, Derek. You're not the only coach in the conference dealing with all the stuff. Certainly Dan Mullen at Florida, you know, where they've had the postponement as well. And heck, we thought Nick Saban had it, you know, for a little while anyway. I'm just, have you guys talked? I mean, do you guys commiserate at all about this and kind of share what you're all going through?
You know what? We're all well wishing each other. Listen, I heard from coaches when we had to cancel, you know, in our contest, you know, man, I heard from, you know, Eli, I heard from Gus, I heard from Kirby. I think in this, like, we all genuinely respect each other enough to know and understand how we you know, been view one another, and we know that we're all fighting the same fight. It was very clear this summer as we were talking about, you know, where we were and how we were going to get through, like some of the things that we were going to get through, that it wasn't about anybody having an advantage over, you know, in the next guy. Everybody was fighting against the same thing. And so it was probably one of those times where we were all probably on the same page and trying to find, you know, answers together versus, you know, being who we are, which is extreme competitors and wanting to try to get a leg up.
Well, Coach, it's always good to spend some time with you. I hope things continue to improve, and we'll visit again next Monday night.
I look forward to it, Joe. Take care of yourself. We'll talk next week.
Will do. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. That's Commodore Head Football Coach Derek Mason, always gracious with his time to join us here on these Monday nights on the Commodore Hour, going through the uncharted territory that they are all dealing with, not only in college football, but in athletics and everything else that we're dealing with, obviously, in our everyday lives. And so hopefully I think one of the other things that we'll know more certainly by the time we have a chance to talk to him next Monday is whether or not all those players that were out because of a combination of either testing positive or contact tracing, whether all those players will be back for Ole Miss. That'll be a big question, but probably won't be answered, as he said, until at least the end of this week and possibly early next week. Well, stay with us because we're going to have a great conversation. Looking forward to visiting with our Director of Athletics, Dr. Candace Story Lee, is going to join us. We'll talk about a number of topics, and look forward to visiting with Candace coming up in just a moment. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to have you with us. It was great to visit with Commodore Head Football Coach Derek Mason. And now, thrilled to be joined by our Director of Athletics, Candace Story Lee. And I think, Candace, I saw you sneak in and catch a little bit of the black and gold game on Sunday. Am I right?
Yeah, Joe. I snuck in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I did leave a little early on Sunday because of the rain.
Well, it was off and on. We got lucky to get through it, but you're right. But it was nice. And so, It was good to see you there and good to visit with you. I appreciate the time. One of the things you talked about after the announcement had to be made that we had to postpone the contest with Missouri, you know, one of the things that you said right up front was, look, this is not a big surprise. And I think the implication was conversations that the athletic directors and the conference had had were basically, there's a reasonable chance this is going to happen. So was that talked about as a contingency from the beginning?
Yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, I think that I would first credit Greg Sankey, because from the very beginning, he has done a great job of level setting for us and reminding us that we are dealing with a highly contagious virus. And even though I think we also are very confident in our protocols, it's not going to be perfect. And so it's odd to plan for disruption, not knowing exactly when it's going to come. But the truth of the matter is it wasn't a surprise. You know, I didn't know it would be last week. I don't think any of us could have predicted that. But we knew that it was inevitable at some point.
And you mentioned the protocols. And I asked Derek about this because I wondered, you know, when something like this happens, does it make you kind of reevaluate your protocols and say, did we miss something? Is there something we should be doing differently? I referenced the conference has come down on a couple of other universities where they thought maybe they weren't as diligent. Did you and did the department sort of reevaluate protocols, and how satisfied are you with what they've been doing?
Well, I think in fairness, we've been in the habit of evaluating the protocols constantly. And so that's one of the things that I think is most humbling about this, is you're making decisions as you go based on the information that you have at that time, but that information can change. Really, it changes day to day. So I would say, yes, we are analyzing what we're doing, but that's no different from what we've been doing since we returned in June. So I just think it's important for us not to panic. Again, we're dealing with a highly contagious virus, and I don't want to give the impression that our student athletes and our coaches and our staff have not done what they're supposed to. Because honestly, I have been blown away by their compliance, their willingness to be disciplined. This is not easy, and you know, it's been a long time since I was a student athlete. But honestly, I'm not sure that I would have been as willing or able to comply in the way that that all of our students have. They've done a really good job in a tough situation.
Yeah, you kind of took me right down the road, because I was thinking back to when you were a student athlete, and I think all of us have kind of put ourselves in this position. If I was 19, 20, 21 years old, would I be able to not go to that gathering, not go to that party, do those things? I mean, there is personal responsibility involved, but from what you're saying, you've been very pleased with what you've seen from the student athletes in handling that.
They've done a great job. They really have. They've done a great job, and I think that they understand what they're fighting for. And again, you could cross every T and dot every I and still have blemishes with this, because again, it's a shared responsibility, and what I do can affect you. And I think that our kids understand that in a very significant way, and they've done a good job. They've done a really good job.
I'm curious, Candace, take us back, if you would, to conversations before the season began with the commissioner, with all the other athletic directors, how you were going to proceed, when you were going to proceed and all that. How were those conversations? Was it contentious? I mean, were there varying degrees of we should do this, we shouldn't do this? How did that all go?
I think that I would not say contentious. No, it was not contentious. I mean, I know that we represent different institutions, but the common thread is that, you know, we wanted to provide these student athletes with the best opportunity to compete if that's what they wanted. And it was really clear early on. You know, I think each of us, and starting with Commissioner Sankey, did a great job of soliciting feedback from our student athletes. You know, it was clear that we were fighting for them, because they expressed very clear that they wanted to compete. And so then it was a matter of, well, if we can get to a place where we're comfortable enough that we can provide that opportunity without putting you at more risk, then that's what we'll do. And it was just a long time to get there because, again, the information was changing. You know, if we go back to March and April, and at that time we were having athletic director calls every day. We still have them quite a few times through the week, but we were doing that every day. And, you know, early on, you didn't even know what the testing capabilities were going to be. You know, we were trying to build this and do it like, I think Commissioner Sankey talks about building the bridge while you cross it. That's exactly what we're doing. And you know, I think we're all smart, competent people. But, you know, when you signed up to become an AD, you didn't know you were going to have to be an MD and learn all these medical terms. I know just enough to be dangerous as it relates to things like PCR and antigens. And, I mean, this is new. This is different. This is different. At the end of the day, we knew that we had to protect young people. It's both a privilege and a burden, to be honest with you, and a responsibility. And so I think I would not say contentious because I think we were all on the same page, but it took a lot to get to this point because there was a lot to learn, and there's still a lot to learn.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It continues to change every day. This is Candace Story Lee, our athletics director at Vanderbilt, joining us. And let me throw you one that's kind of a semi-related before we go to a commercial here.
Okay.
It's been, you know, no attendance at football games except for a few students that were allowed to come in. The band, part of the band was at the last one. That was through October. November hasn't been really discussed publicly yet. I'm sure you have been discussing it. Have there been decisions made yet on what November is going to be like?
Yeah, I mean, our goal is to get fans back in the stands. That's always been our goal. That's always been our goal. And so, you know, what, from my perspective, what I didn't want to do is say something that we couldn't live up to because there were so many factors that still had to be considered. I didn't want to say something and have to take it back. And so we've been very methodical about how we're ramping up. We want fans in the stands, starting with our player families, and then our fans. I mean, it's not at all an environment that I think is ideal, right? But there's nothing ideal about this pandemic. I mean, it's strange to not have even my own family there. You know, let alone the families of our student athletes. But I, you know, that's exactly what we're working towards. I feel good about the progress that we're making. And just trying to be mindful. Again, it's a pandemic and just trying to be vigilant.
Well, I want to take a break and then come back. And if you've got a couple of more minutes, I want to ask you to talk about, the two new hires in the department that I know you're very excited about. We'll have a chance to talk about them when we come back. We're visiting with Candace Story Lee, Director of Athletics at Vanderbilt. We'll come back with more in just a moment. The Commodore Hour continues on 102.5 The Game. We will continue with Commodore Director of Athletics, Candace Story Lee, who made two significant hires not so long ago, hiring two deputy athletic directors that you brought in Dr. Christine Kelly and Tommy McClelland. Before we talk about them individually, Candace, just kind of tell me what prompted you, because this is a little bit of a structural change in the department, not a total change, but a little bit of one. What prompted you to do this?
No, you're right. You're right. It is a structural change. And, you know, if we go back to when I moved into the interim athletic director role, you know, it was sudden. It was, and from a timing standpoint, you know, it happened very quickly and suddenly, you know, we had to keep moving and then the pandemic hit. And that timing is important because I was really sort of functioning in both roles, to be honest, right? I was trying to do my old job and do the new job first in an interim capacity. And then, you know, after the permanent appointment came in April at the end of May. And I think I realized once we got through that initial focus on the pandemic and how are we going to bring student athletes back, you know, I knew that it was important that, we shaped the structure to help prepare us for, you know, how I thought we needed to move forward. And so I had been thinking about it for quite some time. And again, you know, you got to put the fires out that are in front of you. And as I started to think about, you know, when I was the deputy athletic director, I came up more through the internal route. And we have a great team in place, but I thought that, you know, I think from a structural standpoint, it was important to bring sort of fresh perspective in here to help us, especially for myself, having been at Vanderbilt for a while. This was a great opportunity for me to kind of tap into my resources across the country. And I mean, I couldn't be more excited about Christine and Tommy joining our team. You know, they have tremendous perspective and experience. They both have led their own athletic departments. And, you know, the reality is that, like, we needed to add people with broader experiences to help complement what we want to do. And, you know, as I've talked with Chancellor Dearmeyer, who's been a tremendous partner, really, from the moment that he took the job. I mean, to be honest, before he even took the job, just a tremendous partner. You know, I think we're all very clear that we aspire to do even more than we've done. And that's no disrespect to what we've done. But the reality is that, like, the sky is the limit for us. You know, we truly believe it. And you have to have a structure that helps to support that. And I think that as we think about our senior staff and think about this executive team, I thought it was important to add more leadership, more seasoned perspectives. And I want to be clear about that, because that is, like I said, that's no disrespect to who we have in our department now. We've got some rising stars, some very good leaders. But, you know, I've watched Christine and Tommy from afar for quite some time. I actually did not know either one of them personally, knew of them, had communicated, certainly know people that know them well. And I was very, you know, if you know me, I'm pretty methodical. So it took me, I was very deliberate in the vetting process for this. And I tried to be very, very diligent before I put candidates in front of, you know, I asked Chancellor Dearmeyer to meet candidates at the end of our process on campus. And I mean, I had done quite a bit of legwork, but I thought it was very, very important. And I couldn't be more pleased. And they've already hit the ground running and have done a tremendous job.
Well, it, simplistically, you could say Dr. Kelly is your deputy athletic director for internal affairs, and Tommy McClellan is deputy athletic director for external affairs. That's about as simple
Correct.
As it gets. Well, let's start briefly with Dr. Kelly. She's worn a myriad of hats. And these two, I think what was interesting is these two individuals have a lot of experience, but come from very different backgrounds.
You're correct. I mean, Dr. Kelly, so interesting, because I mean, I would argue she's certainly the only person that I know in college athletics who has held the position of faculty athletic representative and athletics director and, you know, number two in the Ivy League. And she's worked at every level. She's been at Division One, Two, and Three. And she just has a tremendous body of work. She's very, very well known. And I started on the internal side. I did not use a search firm on the internal side. I felt like I had a little bit more of an understanding because I too was more internal. I felt like I had I could kind of do that search without the additional help from a search firm. And I had a very, very short list, and she quickly rose to the top of that. And I mean, she has come in and just been really amazing to work with. Really, she's going to be quite the asset for our department.
She's going to be a part of so many different elements of this. You know, I know it was funny. I was looking at she has been through her career an SID, an associate AD, a senior associate AD, an executive AD, a faculty rep, a senior women administrator, and an athletics director. I mean, she's run the gamut in administration.
And she's been in the SEC. She's been in the Ivy League. She's been in the CIAA. I mean, just a lot of diversity with her professional experiences, and I think that's going to bode very well for us moving forward.
Now, on the other side, here's Tommy McClellan, who was an AD at Louisiana Tech. And that's the thing. I think when that hire was made, you know, it turned some heads because, wow, you got an existing acting AD to come here and take this position. What was it that drew you to Tommy McClellan?
So I think Tommy's, so again, like Tommy's another one that I knew him from afar. And I knew Tommy a little bit, but I certainly knew of his work. And I've followed him actually for quite some time. The thing is, you know, I really, and I said this from the beginning about having someone that had led their own department, I ended up with two, which is just quite the benefit for all of us. But having someone that had led their own department was important to me. Particularly in this role on the external side, where that role is going to focus quite a bit on helping me from a fundraising standpoint, helping us think about how we're going to engage the community, how we're going to touch all of our different stakeholder groups, particularly fans, how we're going to leverage the relationship with the city. You know, that's really important. And so from a, I would say, when you look at Tommy and what he's done externally with, I mean, really at every stop he's been, but he has demonstrated that he can generate revenue. But the other thing about Tommy, and I would say the same thing about Christine, from a value standpoint, like I really love who they are as people. Right? They are the consummate professionals, but they're also very, very strong leaders and really good people that are committed to the mission of serving our student athletes and their competitors. And they understand, I mean, they respect what Vanderbilt is, but they know what we can be. And it was clear to me in the hiring process. And I spent a lot of time, you know, I'd spent a lot of time with all of these candidates. And it was clear to me that, you know, the chancellor talks about us raising our level of aspiration. I knew that I would have two really good partners there to help us do that. And, you know, I know it was a surprise to some people. It was not a surprise to me. You know, you want to surround yourself with strong people. We have a strong group here, but they really complement us in a very significant way. They filled some gaps that we needed. And I think they're going to be a really important part of our future. I'm excited about it.
Well, Tommy, I think is... when you think about the areas he's going to oversee, I mean, mm-hmm. marketing, promotions, tickets, hospitality, broadcasting, you know, the relationship with Learfield IMG, all of that. But you touched on it a moment ago. How significant was the fundraising aspect and his background and success in that area in this place?
It's really important, right? So as we think about how, so when I talk again, referring to this idea of us raising our level of aspiration, you know, part of that is, you know, there's got to be this recognition that in some areas we have underachieved, right? Like I know what those areas are, and one of them, if we're going to give our student athletes the best opportunity to compete and win, I mean, infrastructure is an important part of that. Having the resources, particularly from a facility standpoint, that's really, really important. And so philanthropy has to be a big part of that. You know, at the end of the day, we have to show people that, again, while preserving the things that have been important to us, we have to show people that that we're going to be something that we've never been before. So it will require approaches that we've never taken. It will require us to engage in ways that we've never engaged. It will require us to commit to facilities in a way that we have not done. And that's just the truth, you know. And again, at very soon, we'll be able to talk more about that. But mm-hmm. I think that Tommy, like when I look at what Tommy did at Louisiana Tech, and you can even go back to what he did at McNeese State, but there were some key things at Louisiana Tech from a revenue generation standpoint that were really appealing to me.
Well, it's great to spend time with you, Candace. I think, in fact, I think Christine and Tommy are going to join me on the show next Monday night.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
we'll
get an opportunity to chat with them for a few minutes. Looking forward to that. But I appreciate the time with you as always, and hope you're doing well. Hope everybody's well, and thank you very much for joining us for a few minutes. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate you. Thanks, man.
That's the Director of Athletics, Candace Story Lee, and we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the Commodore Hour right after this. Well, a few notes to finish up with. The Black and Gold series for the baseball finished up on Sunday in extra innings, won by the black team by a score of 9-8. But what a performance by Isaiah Thomas in that final game. He drove in all 8 runs for the gold team with a 3-run homer and a grand slam included. All of that was performed, those games played in front of parents and Major League scouts, and I believe every Major League team was represented, if not all but one, but I think all of them were represented through the course of the weekend. Speaking of the majors, former Vandy boy Walker Buehler is headed to the World Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers, where they will take on Tampa Bay. Congratulations to him. My guess is he'll probably start, if I had to guess, probably game 3, but it could be game 2. But nonetheless, and Dansby Swanson, Kyle Wright for the Braves, a great season, came that close. And Dansby had a home run last night, as a matter of fact, in that finale. Congratulations to women's soccer, huge win in Gainesville over Florida. They will face Georgia this weekend in Nashville. A couple of golf notes. Women's golf playing at one of the great courses down in Mississippi, Old Waverly. They are tied for 10th after round 1 of their event. Men's golf will be hosting the Vanderbilt Legends Collegiate on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday down in Franklin at the Legends Club. Unfortunately, not open to the public, obviously, but I'm looking forward to it. I believe I'm going to be the official starter on the first tee on Sunday, so I'm going to have to work on my voice and enunciation and get ready for that, but we'll be looking forward to that. It was a great show. It was wonderful to visit, as always, with Commodore Head football coach Derek Mason, and also with the athletics director, Candace Story Lee. And I think she gave us some pretty interesting information talking about the new hires, and then maybe a little bit of a hint as what priority-wise is going to be in our near future. Hope you'll stay with us. The Anchor Down podcast is coming up. Max Herz, who I was appreciative he did the play-by-play for the Black and Gold Series game on Saturday. He'll be recapping the Black and Gold Series for you. Also have an interview with Commodore running back Keon Henry Brooks. That's coming up next. Thanks to Alex in the studio, as always. And most of all, thanks to you for being with us. Stay safe. Be careful. We'll see you next Monday night right here on the Commodore Hour on 102.5 The Game.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.